A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on November 13, 1988, entitled, I Believe the Holy Catholic Church. The scripture reading is Ephesians 2, verses 17 through 22. The text for the sermon is Ephesians 2, verses 20 and 21. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
The proposition or the statement about the church, and ask you to quote it for me, you could do that, and you would say, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, right? Wrong. Wrong. At least, I don't believe in the Holy Catholic Church. I've had too much experience with it to believe in it. I believe the Holy Catholic Church, but I don't believe in the Holy Catholic Church. I believe the Holy Catholic Church because I believe in God, and I believe that the church is the church of God, that God has deigned in God's wisdom to gather from all peoples of the earth, a people for God's name, and that it is that people so gathered that become the people who witness to God's grace, who are responsible to bring light to the world, who are the concretization of the kingdom of God in the midst of the world. I believe the Holy Catholic Church. I believe the church is of God and that God calls the church into being and sustains the church, and that God has determined through the church to bring light, to mediate grace, to witness to God's kingdom that has come and is coming. But I don't believe in the church. I believe in God. And consequently, I believe the existence of the Holy Catholic Church. Very important distinction. Because if you believe in the church, you will be disappointed at best and devastated at worst sometime or other, because while the church is the church of God, the church is constituted of people like you and me, and consequently the church as a historical institution is not worthy of our faith in it. It is instrumental. It is divinely ordained. It has a critical role. But I don't believe in it. I believe in God. And there's a whale of a lot of difference. The letter to the Ephesians is a great letter about the church. The letter to the Ephesians is a letter that we've been poking around in quite a bit this last year. It's wonderful. I read the first chapter and I feel goosebumps, because you have that grand cosmic vision of the eternal God who set His love upon us before the foundations of the world. You have those thrilling statements about the fact that it is all of love and all of grace. And you have that story, that statement of such impressive grandeur, that God is through the ages at work bringing all all things toward a harmony in Jesus Christ, that the unfolding of the ages is the story of the purpose of God more and more being realized until that day when the whole creation will be somehow or other summed up in Jesus Christ. Paul's statement to the church, saying how he prays for the church, praying that the people will come to sense who they are, come to sense the wonder of their calling, come to sense the heritage that they have with God's people, come to sense the power that's at work in them, the power, he says, with which God raised Jesus from the dead. Oh, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened so that you might know who you are. He goes on to magnify the grace of God. It is by grace that you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is of God, lest anyone would boast. And then he comes to share what to Paul absolutely blew him away. These Ephesians, out of a pagan background, these Gentile people, he says, you have been joined to Israel so that there is one new humanity in Jesus Christ. I can't believe it. I, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee, after the law, blameless. I, Paul, can't believe I'm saying this, but you Gentiles are joined with us of Israel into a new humanity in Jesus Christ. He came and he preached peace to those who are afar and to us who are near. And now you're no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God, built on the apostles and prophets, you yourselves, living members of this temple of which Jesus Christ is the capstone, a temple which is an architectural figure, but yet Paul almost sees it as an organism. A temple that is growing, growing, growing to become finally the dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Paul mixes his metaphors a little bit, I think, but you know what he's trying to say? The church is of God. The church is the instrument of God for an eternal purpose. The church is the agency through which God is effecting a cosmic plan, an eternal redemption. The church, well, the church is really something. And that's a wonderful truth for us to take in and to appropriate, to rejoice in, to claim. For we are the Holy Catholic Church. And what Paul says to the Ephesians, he says to us. What was true for them is true of us. We are a living building. We are a habitation for God in the Spirit. We are, every one of us, not off in some splendid isolation with our own little pipeline to God, but all of us joined together in a community, in a communion, in a building whose inhabitant is none other than the eternal God, the church. I believe the Holy Catholic Church. I believe it's holy because it is God's. God sets it apart for God's own purpose. It is set apart. It is Catholic. Because obviously there can only be one church. One church spanning all time and all peoples. One holy Catholic church founded on apostles and prophets. And ourselves the continuing growing building structured into this body that spans all ages and embraces all peoples, one holy Catholic Church. That's the church from above. That's the church from God's perspective. That's the church according to God's intention. I believe the Holy Catholic Church. I don't believe that God sort of floats like a gaseous substance in the air. I don't believe that God is some kind of a spirit pervading the world and plucking one here and plucking one there and affecting God's purpose in another place. I believe that God, just as in Jesus Christ, God tabernacled or tented in the flesh of Jesus, so that we looked into the face of Jesus and saw into the heart of God, so with that much concreteness, the church is the temple of God, the habitation of the Spirit, the body of Christ. The old theologies used to distinguish between the visible and the invisible church, and that was because the old theologians wanted to say the church is of God, the church is divine, the church is holy, the church is all of those good things. And then they looked around and they looked at what the church really was and they said, but that's not what it is. And so they distinguished between the invisible church, that is the ideal, and the real church, the grubby real church of real people. Well, that distinction won't hold water. There is no ideal church. The only church there is the church right here. The only kind of church there is a church that's made up of people. The only kind of church there is the concrete church, which is the concrete manifestation of the kingdom of God in the midst of the world. So, for good or ill, we're all there is. The Holy Catholic Church. It's good to remember that we belong to God. That it was before the foundations of the world that God set His love upon us. That it is God who calls us into being. That it is God who sustains us. That it is God who guarantees that the goal of the consummation of all things in Jesus Christ will be realized. Good to remember that. Awfully good to remember that. Because, like those old theologians who distinguished between the visible and the invisible church, when we look at the real church, well, one might be tempted to turn one's back on it. One might be tempted to leave it in a snit. One might be tempted to say, I don't need that. One might be tempted to say, me and in the church. Today, as a community, we are experiencing that wonderful moment when there will be those who will stand and say, I believe in Jesus and I commit myself to Jesus in the life of the church. Maybe somebody should have gotten to them, huh? Today, we will baptize children in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, because there are parents who want the sign of belonging to the people of God on their children, want to be identified as belonging to the community of faith. I wonder, is that fair to do to innocent children? Well, of course you know I think it's fair to do. I think it's imperative to do it. And of course you know that I rejoice with those who will stand to say, I will consciously and deliberately identify myself with this concrete body of God's people because I believe in God and I believe in Jesus Christ and I believe the Holy Catholic Church. For you see, if there aren't those who, in spite of the church, in spite of its failures, its flaws, its fallible nature, will say, nevertheless, I believe and I commit and I identify with, unless there are those who continue to do it, how will they know of the grace of God in Jesus Christ in century 21 or 22 or 23? In other words, you and I are a part of a historical line of persons who have confessed Jesus and identified with the church and have been the ongoing historical, concrete manifestation of the body of Christ in history. And it is only because down through all these centuries there has been the gathering of a people by the good and gracious God, a people who have named Jesus and kept the story alive and witnessed to grace and been willing to be light to the world and salt to the world. Only because there have been those who have been willing to do it, have you and I come into the possession of it. And if we don't do it, who will do it? How long would it take for the whole story to die out? How long would it take for the church to become a museum? How long would it take for the Christian movement to become a subject for PhD dissertations, but no longer a living, vital, breathing, failing, flawed, sinning, disobedient, cantankerous, obstinate, blessed, graced people in the midst of the earth? I believe the Holy Catholic Church. I think there are 100 or 1,000 things wrong with it. It is so arrogant and so proud. The church claims to be Orthodox. What arrogance. To think that we finally dotted the I's and crossed the T and that's the truth. What arrogance. To think that there is a divine way of worship, so that it must be thus and so. What arrogance! To believe that there is a divine form of church government and order. What arrogance! To believe somehow or other that we are the church and some other body in the name of Jesus is not. What arrogance! To believe we can break bread and pour the cup and deny anyone to come to the table. What arrogance! Where do we get off with that kind of thinking? Where has the church gone wrong that it should think that somehow or other it has a corner on the truth? That it has the priority of a table which belongs to the whole body. I believe the Holy Catholic Church, but I don't believe in it, for it has a record in its history which is full of scandal, which is disgraceful. It has moments that are as mean as any human organization you can name. You tell me 100 things wrong with the church and I'll double your list. I believe the Holy Catholic Church, because that's all there is. And I'm not going to run out of this concrete community and seek to find some other that's more spiritual. Because I'll know already, the moment that claim is made, it's worse off than this motley crew. And I'm not going to run out of this body and find some other body that's got a truer perspective on the holy. Because I'll know already, they're in worse trouble than we poor benighted folk. I can't run any other place. There's no other place to go. Every place I go, they're just people. And I'll tell you what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful that now for some 17 years we've been running on the back of the bulletin who we are, which says we're not much. Just a pilgrim people, fascinated by Jesus Christ, finding in Jesus Christ our Savior and Lord, living by a dream, drawn by a vision, not a spiritually elite, not morally pure, not superior in any way, fragile, flawed, broken, erring, weak, denying the vision, breaking our promises. Tell you one thing, we're not much. But then we haven't claimed to be much. Maybe that's the most honest thing the church can be. Simply to attempt to live without pretense, and to open its arms and its heart to all of those who have just one qualification. They're thirsty and they need the water of life. They're guilty and they need a word of forgiveness and grace. They're fearful and they need to know that there is the peace of Christ. They're despairing and they need a word of hope. I believe the Holy Catholic Church is somehow in its flawed nature, somehow in its ambiguous historical manifestation, some way through its disobedient, stubborn, recalcitrant nature, some way or other, God's grace breaks through. And Jesus Christ, the Lord of the church, mediates grace. And there is a witness, not to the glory and the grandeur of the church, but to the glory and the grandeur of the eternal God. Dear friends, you are living members of the household of God. And I have every confidence in you. And I love you with all my heart. Not because you're so lovable, but because you're loved of God. And we together in our rather fragile way bear witness beyond ourselves to something greater than we are, to something we cannot contain, to something we cannot control, to something that we cannot put in a neat package, to something that shatters our forms, that breaks our structures, to something that is far greater and grander than anything which we can ever bring to expression, because we are the church of the living God. I believe the Holy Catholic Church, and I thank God that There are those again today who say, and here am I. Let us pray. God our Father, that we should be so blessed, so graced, that we should be called the children of God, and such we are, even now. What can we do but praise your name, and with deep humility, follow you and serve you with all our hearts. God our Father, we pray that you will receive us as the instruments of your mercy and the channels of your grace, and make us light to earth's farthest bound. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.